Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives Monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello, everyone. I'm Brianna Contreras, an editor with Managed Healthcare Executive, and in this month's episode, I chatted with executive of HS Blocks, Lynn Carroll. In our conversation, we address the difference between predictive and generative AI, focusing on how each works together in preventive healthcare. The conversation exposes the challenges and opportunities with generative AI in clinical documentation, pharmaceutical research, and medical device manufacturing. Carroll also shared strategies for aligning primary and specialty care and value-based initiatives, along with emerging use cases, best practices for generative AI, and much more.
Hello, Lynn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brianna. It's great to be here today.
So today we're mainly discussing, you know, generative and predictive AI. So I guess for the first question, you know, to paint more of a clear picture for those who may be unaware or, you know, still unsure, can you share just what the difference is between predictive and generative AI?
Sure. It's always a good question. I think folks are pretty familiar with predictive analytics, which have been mature for a number of years. With regard to kind of observing, past history and making predictions about the future, which would be more of a predictive AI approach. Of course, a lot of the buzz recently has been around generative AI and its applicability across different industries, certainly healthcare as well. Generative AI is a little bit different in the fact that it's more focused on creation of either new content or new approaches to things based upon data that it's been used to train it. But I think the difference is you might generate, for example, a care plan of new content, for example, based upon historical information that's been in the training data, whereas a predictive solution would say, hey, I've seen these things happen in the past. I recognize these patterns, and therefore I'm going to predict, you know, a certain occurrence is going to occur in the future. Those would be a couple examples of the difference.
Okay, great. So kind of just recycling what's already known and just kind of making it better in a sense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the predictive nature of things has usually been applied in a lot of either financial modeling scenarios, particularly if folks are taking on risk and value-based types of programs. There has been, you know, some clinical approaches as well to kind of predict based upon chronic disease when incidents might occur. But when you look at the more generative side of it, it has a lot more promise for being even more proactive by creating some new content and some new observations through different types of methods and deeper learning approaches than traditional predictive or machine learning approaches under the predictive path.
Got it. Thank you. Now, to dig a little bit deeper on each of these tools, how can healthcare providers, smoothly integrate predictive AI for preventative care, ensuring the detection of risk factors and improve long-term patient outcomes?
Well, I think the first, applications typically are kind of looking at how do you complete documentation in a more efficient and automated fashion, and then looking to that documentation to also be sources of information for what the next, next best thing might be. So you look at treatment protocols and different approaches to patient well-being. A lot of these things require, massive data sets that are typically not integrated. And so it kind of gets you into the scenario of how do you address, you know, getting a full view of the patient first, from a more interoperable and holistic view of the patient, so that you have a comprehensive data set that then allows you to make these predictions about not only what might occur, but also then generate predictive care plans for what might be done as an early intervention. And so the premise of it all is, rather than being reactive to a patient situation, is to try to predict where an intervention could be done on a proactive basis to avoid, you know, acute incidents or even scenarios where patients might be, you know, significantly compromised from a healthcare standpoint.
Great. Thank you. Now, with generative AI, you know, as you mentioned, it's becoming more prevalent in healthcare. So I guess, how can organizations navigate challenges and opportunities in automating clinical documentation, pharmaceutical research, and medical device manufacturing while maintaining accuracy and reliability?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that is a hot topic with regard to generative AI is its maturity level. And it certainly is a promising technology with regard to certain use cases within healthcare at this current point. Certainly predictive and machine learning approaches are a little bit more developed, a little bit more mature. But as you start to look at things that can be more further automated, you look at things that can be expedited, like in the clinical trial space, there's opportunities to expedite clinical trials using generative AI approaches. There are also opportunities where device manufacturers are looking pretty closely at the technology to understand more efficient paths for the development of different human wearables and implantable devices, things of that nature, that can be sentinel indicators from remote monitoring points of view to understand if there's been a change in a patient's health status and allow, more effective approaches for treatment.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, in the context of CMS ACO REACH, based off of the article, you wrote and with MHE previously in value-based initiatives. So what strategies can healthcare stakeholders use to align primary and specialty care for positive outcomes and efficiency within 2024?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think, if you look at the motivation for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and putting some of these programs out there, there has been a desire to move toward more value-based programs and to incentivize the participation in those programs. What we think we're going to continue to see happen in 2024 is evolution of the ACO REACH model, to get more physicians aligned with ACOs and therefore more members into value-based types of programs. We also see through their approaches with making care primary, the desire to align primary care with specialty care, to your question. The primary care specialty care alignment is pretty important because when you look at the total cost of care, a significant amount of that spend is on the specialty side. And so making sure that the appropriate referral patterns are in place, that we're not having duplicative services and tests provided, and that under a value-based program, there's potentially opportunity to reduce waste by understanding the efficiency of what's being delivered underneath more fixed pricing types of models. Additionally, in the value-based space, we have seen the folding in of different health equity and social determinant types of programs, including behavioral health, and trying to get more alignment between primary care, for example, and behavioral health practitioners as we have seen coming out of COVID and certainly over the last couple of years, an emphasis on mental health issues that also then drive health-related issues in the population.
Now, next with Valid AI, exploring generative AI in healthcare, what emerging use cases and best practices can we anticipate, and how can stakeholders responsibly adopt this technology?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is to, you know, walk before you run, which is to identify clear areas of application. I think we see that the very first applications have been around clinical documentation, trying to expedite and automate clinical documentation, as well as make it more accurate. Which, you know, comes into play particularly in understanding care continuum and data sharing aspects of the information. I think it's also important to think about as you get into different, you know, precision medicine types of programs, the applications for generative AI are manifold. That's why we see a lot of the pharmaceutical companies and life sciences organizations working in the space, because those are where there are a lot of high dollars to be spent and consumed, particularly when you look at chronic disease scenarios. So I think, you know, the earliest applications around documentation. And then they get into, you know, an ongoing emphasis on stratifying the population and understanding where those intervention opportunities are on a proactive basis. And those will be areas that I think we'll see continued expansion in. But certainly out of the gate, opportunities to automate and increase throughput without overtaxing physicians in the medical community with the documentation needed to be successful under value-based programs.
Now, how will AI and machine learning support the digital transformation required for value-based care programs, including data digitization and interoperability initiatives in 2024?
Yeah, so I think you hit on a couple of good areas there, which is there's a data sharing needed underneath specialty and primary care alignment, for example, and across the continuum of care when you look at these total cost of care programs. Some of this gets into, if I'm going to take risk on a population, understanding not only its stratification, but what the you know, predictions would be for financial performance. So where we've seen most of the applications have been in applying forecasting models based on, you know, historical results to understand if I was to apply a particular cohort of a population to a particular value-based program design, can I predict, you know, with some degree of certainty what the outcomes will be, not only financially, but also at a patient level from a chronic disease management standpoint, for example. And so you look at the more predictive pieces have traditionally been applied in the more financial arena to predict cost trends, as well as to predict potential complications in the chronic disease area. Those are probably fairly well-known areas for most folks, whether it's value-based or fee-for-service models. I think the precision that we will see will continue to increase, not only from predictive and machine learning approaches, but also then incorporation and coupling with generative approaches to understand new pathways to make better interventions at an earlier time underneath some of these more fixed price outcome dependent models.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, lastly, regarding behavioral health integration and the AHEAD program, as you mentioned, what steps can healthcare providers take to capture and share social determinants of health data, optimizing care transformation, and reducing avoidable costs next year, which I know you touched on briefly in different points of conversation, but I guess if there's anything you can add more to that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. So one of the things that we have seen there be a potential challenge with is behavioral health organizations, as well as community-based organizations and social service agencies seem to be a little bit less developed on the technology spectrum as opposed to, you know, hospitals and, you know, larger group practices, for example. And in the documentation that's provided either to or from those organizations, there's a lot of unstructured data. That unstructured data does require natural language processing techniques, which are AI and machine learning approaches, to ultimately digitize that data into a structure that it can be used for analytic purposes. So as different community-based organizations, social service agencies are folded in, along with some of the behavioral health programs, are folded in under these value-based programs, and there becomes alignment between primary care and these, what I would say, non-traditional participants in value-based programs. The need for sharing that information requires that digitization of that unstructured data. And the things that we have seen happening have been, how do you get that data into a construct that's very similar to traditional healthcare data exchange, which would use, you know, HL7, FHIR, and HIPAA EDI transactions? And how do you make that information be able to traverse the same paths that traditional information has traversed? Of course, there have been problems with interoperability in traditional healthcare. Likewise, the same challenges present themselves with CBOs and social service agencies, where the technology capabilities may be lacking in some fashion. So meeting them where they're at requires an approach that usually requires some type of a templating and some type of a communication tool set to be able to bring back data through either survey instruments or other types of documentation capture that are outside of the traditional, you know, more standardized transaction sets.
Got it. Thank you. And Lynn, again, that was all I had for you, but as Philip knows, with my podcast guests, I like to ask just my last question, you know, if there's anything you'd like to add, maybe that I didn't address in my questions that you think would be great for our listeners to know.
Well, I think, you know, probably to summarize, as we kind of move forward on this value-based journey as an industry, I think we're going to see continued alignment and consolidation across the industry to ensure success in value-based programs. And we like to think of it as there's kind of three areas that benefit success. One is an operational aspect, which is an area that we're focused on. There's an analytic component to it, and then, which we've talked a lot about today. And then there's also a care management component. So it's kind of a three-legged stool that you need to bring together alignment between the care management components, the analytics, and then the actual operationalization of the programs to ensure the best path to success under a value-based model.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.